Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
If you're going to emulate your team's greatest ever out half by dropping a goal to win a crucial match in the dying moments, you may as well go the whole hog and emulate his most iconic celebration while you're at it. Jack Crowley went full Ronan O'Gara on Saturday, keeping his nerve to kick the drop goal under the most intense pressure and then wagging the fingers like, I'm trying to do it here, Murph, wagging the fingers like we saw.
There's
back
too much
in
side to side motion there on. It's very much just a Dennis Taylor-esque wag as
Ooh.
He's running back to the halfway line.
I think there's a bit of side-to-side motion in both.
I feel, for me, that I see someone finger-wagging, I immediately think Dennis Taylor. I don't, even when it's a drop goal, even when it's a monster at half,
are you serious?
I still think, is it as good as Dennis Taylor's finger-wag? Is it as cheeky as Dennis Taylor's finger-wag? I'd have to say, not quite. I put Jack Crowley's finger-wag third in the all-time Irish sports finger-wags top three.
Welcome to Monday's Second Captain's Podcast. Hey, Si.
Hey, Owen, how are you?
What a celebration that was. Talk some sense into this man, Simon. That's going straight to number one.
It's a hell of a celebration. But
Murph, what do you think about the fact that he did celebrate that way immediately after probably the greatest moment in his career so far?
It's got to count for something. But then again, Dennis Taylor, he won the World Snooker Championship in front of 29
million. Stop talking about Dennis Taylor. All Munster fans want to hear about is how they smoked Leinster. This is their greatest day in years. You're talking about Dennis Taylor.
Leinster's 13. But nevertheless, you know, I do kind of feel that was lost a little bit in the celebration. I was looking at the Leinster team and it's like...
Munster fans, I'm so sorry. I wanted to get like further into this before letting him loose here.
Isn't there like three of the Leinster starting 15?
Try telling this to the lads with their tops off immediately after the match or any of those Munster players celebrating.
I see where they're coming from.
Great celebrations.
I congratulate them and go nuts. I just feel like at some stage maybe someone
should mention.
Would
you walked up to Keith Earl's kids immediately after and said, there's actually Leinster B team?
Well, C team. But no, I would not have done that, Simon. Of course. I mean, I'm not, you know, a killjoy. Mm. But here we are now, almost 48 hours after the event. And I think, you know, we can inject a little bit of reality into the conversation here. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm a necessary, you know, a leavening effect on the hysteria.
Yeah, I forgot Robbie Henshaw was on the C team. Murph, this was the way Munster won this.
I said where they won it,
Murph, where they won it, and who they beat, and the record against this team. It's basically perfection from a Munster perspective.
Yeah, it really is. It's massive. Yeah. It's so sweet for so many reasons for them. The way it was done, I don't just mean the drop goal. I mean the kind of rugby they were playing with a minute or two before the drop goal, but shifting it out the backs and through the forwards.
On their own line.
On your own try line. Yeah. Trying to work it out that way. A few clever kicks. All of that kind of stuff. The drop goal itself, just having one moment like that you can wrap everything around. That happens late. So it all carries, you know, by no means full Aviva Stadium. And yet it looked absolutely electric. You know, when the players are doing their post-match interviews and oftentimes the fans are trying to hear them and cheer. There was none of that. The fans didn't care what anyone was saying. Yeah. It was just losing their minds in the moment and going absolutely nuts.
It was a bloody good game of rugby as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Brilliant. Jeez,
really good game. But, you know, Leinster didn't have their best game.
Yeah.
But they didn't play too badly either. And Munster had to go and win the thing several times. You know, they'd have plenty of time to think about all their butcher chances, all the times they've come close. They'd all that linger around in their subconscious as they went into those final phases, and yet they're still doing their stuff on their own try line, as you say. And like, you'd have to say, this is a total transformation of their playing style, obviously, of their self-belief and their philosophy. Like, I didn't actually think it was possible to change that much in one season. Often a coach will come in and go, right, let's just sort the set piece. Let's just sort the defence. And actually, the defence is one of the things that's only come in recent sort of weeks that it's really improved under Leamy. But they've sort of changed every element of the team. Now, I know they have to go and hopefully win the thing. But if you're ever to sort of kickstart a movement again, that was the way to do it.
I think so. Murph, if you really wanted to put me off here and made me not think so well about Munster over the weekend, you could have just mentioned Donegal Callaghan's shoes. That would have done it for me.
I feel like, you know,
they kind of deserve to lose based on Donegal Callaghan's outfit, to be
that,
fair.
That might seem to people who haven't seen those shoes as an overly harsh statement. However, Owen, I agree with you.
Even Graham Rowntree was struck by the shoes in his post-match interview. Well, a little bit freaked out by them. Mm. But on they go, and on they go to the
Stormers away.
URC
yeah.
final against Stormers away.
Connacht played, as they have done in recent times, really well. They kind of gave everything they had. And, you know, it was still hanging in the balance in the second half. But the Stormers are lethally dangerous. Like, more dangerous than Toulouse, more dangerous than Leinster in those sort of moments when they get close to your line. Manny Libbock he'd frighten any defence coach, I think, or any video analyst in advance. Because I don't know how much, a bit like DuPont or something like that, you can kind of manage the rest of the team and hope he doesn't get too much possession. But putting him off his game doesn't look too likely. But Munster have won, this will be their sixth away game in a row. They've won four of them, including the Stormers away. And I kind of feel like improving form is one thing, but getting that win against Leinster is the kind of step you need. You know, there's like, oh yeah, our defence a bit better, attacking structure's improving. But then that sort of iconic win is the jet fuel, I think.
I've just had a light bulb moment, Murph, as Simon talks there. I think the Leinster fan is back. Is Simon a Leinster fan? Do you remember that bollocks years ago?
That was a lot of bollocks, wasn't it?
Simon's really talking up Leinster today. But would you go that far, Simon? Leinster?
Well, you know what?
Honestly, you know, even
like,
saying that word,
a really visceral reaction to hearing that word. I was
horrible.
Like, stop saying it, Owen, and don't ever say it on the podcast ever again.
Quite a few of my friends who are Leinster fans are like, God, I forgot how much I hated Munster. I hate hating Munster. I really don't want them to win again.
That's huge, though. That's like the instant thing. But that's what the rivalry is now. Yeah. Obviously needs Munster to beat Leinster.
I think Donegal Callaghan actually was a key part of it. But Leinster psychology is really interesting because there's like the next run, O'Gara wagging his finger. There's O'Gara just haunting their dreams at all times. La Rochelle coming. The similarities to last season, losing a semi-final in the URC at home again, facing La Rochelle in a final again. The fact that the final's at home sort of brings an added, they cannot afford to lose this final now. You know, it's like their success is all boiled down to this 80 minutes against a brilliant team.
And I also feel like, let's be honest here, in a World Cup year, the idea that when it comes to knockout rugby, like Ireland basically, i.e. Leinster, fail really badly two weeks in a row, that would not be good. That would not be a good
I think it's a bad look for Leinster. Is that what you were going to say?
No, a bad look for Ireland. Like a bad look looking ahead to the World Cup itself.
I actually think it damages Leinster, not Ireland. I think this group of players, which is mostly Leinster, have proven over and over now that they can kind of cope with pressure and expectation and being favourites and all that sort of stuff and a few tough matches in a row. Mm. But if they can do it with Ireland, then they should be definitely doing it with Leinster. But they have, you know, the Furlong and Sheen and Porter, James Ryan, Ringrose, Gibson Park and all sorts coming back in. So it is, as you said at the very start, Murph, it is a different team, but it's the same group that have just been hurt by Munster and the Ghost of Rog.
Our friend, the ex-Munster centre, Barry Murphy, was in the thick of it doing live radio commentary. We're talking to Barry today. You'll be glad to know. We'll cover the Leinster side of things tomorrow and how it affects them in Champions Cup final week with Shane Horgan for World Service members. And we'll build up to Katie Taylor's homecoming, the second part of that massive sporting doubleheader in Dublin next Saturday, along with the rugby. There's also City Madrid in the Champions League semi-final. Paul Flynn and Michael Murphy later in the week. Also, if that's not enough, for World Service members, later today we can finally officially release our Ronnie O'Sullivan interview. That's Ronnie O'Sullivan in studio for what was a phenomenal chat around his brilliant new book, Unbreakable. All that for only a fiver a month plus VAT on secondcaptains.com. Just before we get into Munster's side, there was more good news over the weekend. I say more good news as though everybody is delighted with the Munster win. There was good news for the Ireland Women's Sevens team who've qualified for the Olympics.
Yeah, beat Fiji 10-5 in Toulouse. It was effectively an Olympic playoff. That's what it boiled down to. They knew what was on, what was at stake. Serious pressure, because this whole movement or this project really is about Olympic qualification. And as we know, Olympic qualification is only every 4 years. That's an added layer of pressure that team sports aren't used to. This group of players wouldn't be used to. So that success and failure, that quite binary thing, a bit like what Leinster face in a Champions Cup final, like lose it, the whole season feels kind of pointless. If this women's team hadn't made the Olympics, a lot of this whole project would feel a little bit pointless, or the last 4 years of build-up. So a huge amount riding on the game. And then you add in the fact that women's rugby is desperate for good news. I really felt it was a massive achievement to come through the game, and it was one in which they were defending for a lot of the second half. It wasn't as if they were like coasting home here. It was like living on your nerves, living on your defence. Don't mess up. And it's against Fiji, who are obviously lethally dangerous in men's and women's sevens. So really interesting game. Brilliant that they came through it. And then Captain Lucy Mulhall, she spoke immediately afterwards about Olympic medals and...
Medals?
Yeah, justifying themselves in the Olympics. I think it is a realistic hope. Like New Zealand, Australia, USA as well, particularly New Zealand and Australia, kind of hoover up most of the medals and the titles, USA to a slightly lesser extent. But after that, France, Ireland, Great Britain, Fiji, they're all quite close. So depending on the draw, like a semi-final is very realistic for Ireland.
Just the point, you're saying that Irish women's rugby is desperate for good news. Mm. And it's not even just that. I actually would think that what's going on with the 15s at the moment is adding pressure to the sevens, because there is
that's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah, there's this debate about whether or not, you know, can you actually sustain both of them, and have we put too many resources? What is the sevens anyway, really? Mm. And if you don't qualify for the Olympics, then those questions gain a lot of currency. But if you qualify for the Olympics and you're talking about a possible medal search, then suddenly, ooh, the IRFU are looking like they're pretty smart to go big on the sevens.
Yeah, no, the men made it last time and actually didn't perform, as they'd say themselves. But yeah, late July 2024, Stade de France in Paris. It's a brilliant thing to watch in the Olympics. We've been watching even when Ireland aren't involved. Mm. It's quite a good event. So when Ireland will be involved, it'll be exciting.
Now, all you Munster fans, all you Lunsters out there, you deserve your moment. Don't mind Murph here. Here are the final stages from the Aviva on Saturday. As heard on Limerick's Live 95, Don O'Sullivan and Barry Murphy on commentary.
Back for the drop goal. Crowley! Yes! What a goal! Crowley, Munster! Oh, it's over, in case you were wondering.
20 seconds ago, are they going to South Africa for the final? Referee watches the whistle. Still 15 seconds, 13 seconds. One more ruck will do it for Munster. 9 seconds. Kendall and Inder, 7 seconds to go. Hurry on, clock. There's 1 point between them. Is Casey going to kick it? The clock is red!
Yes! Come on, Munster!
And Munster come and win in Dublin!
Barry Murphy, who are you supporting there at the weekend? I couldn't quite make it out.
Ah, the beauty of local radio.
Especially when exposed to the national, international podcast. That looked like a lot of fun for you.
It was. 10 years, or how many years of hurt? Listen to my voice. It's gone. Thankfully, Hermitage Green don't have a gig for a couple of weeks, because my voice went in that moment of screeching, all the years of pain coming out. It was hilarious. I loved Don, the hurry up clock at the end there. I think I'm channeling my inner Shane Dowling.
Yes,
with the bias.
Yes. Very Dowling-like.
And the flattest Limerick accent I've delivered in years. So, look, it was an unbelievable moment. What a way to win a game!
What a game, Barry!
Yeah, wasn't it?
They were saying it's probably the best URC game of the season, which is quite something when you think it's the rivalry, it's a semi-final, all the other elements. Normally, it makes those games a bit flat, but the energy, the intensity, it was a really high standard. It wasn't one of those games where one of the defenses kind of just lets in a couple of tries. Everything was earned, and the standard was so high throughout.
It really was. I watched it back again this morning and it was just, my heart was pounding watching it again. Such an unbelievable effort from both sides. Obviously a lot of talk beforehand about the different, who was going to take the field, but at the end of the day, 15 players on both sides who were just, or 23 because the benches made a massive difference, but they gave absolutely everything. Even Leinster to come back, to hold out the way they did for so long and come back and finish as strong as they did in the last, you know, 20, apart from that last five. But I really had no faith in Munster doing that with 10 minutes to go. The decision started going Leinster's way. Munster looked really tired, but to be able to go that deep and pull it out the way they did was, it was one of those ones that we've been faced with that so many times from Munster perspective, and kind of it's gone the other way. So to just get one, and to reach a final from what, you know, the season we've had, I think it's just unbelievable. I'm delighted for the players and for everyone involved.
Yeah, and put a little spoke in Leinster's build up to the Champions Cup final as well. It's a nice little bonus.
Mm.
Talk to us about the drop goal itself there, Barry, because it didn't, funny, I was watching it on RTE TV, Hugh Cahill and Donal Lennon were commentating, and it wasn't as though this is going to be set up for a drop goal. They were actually more focusing on one slip up from Leinster here and there's a penalty and that's going to win it for Munster. It seemed as though on TV it almost came from nowhere. Did you see it being set up or were you expecting that to happen?
No. Do you know what? I think the way the TV footage is going now is they zoom in so much on the rucks that you don't get that zoomed out shot of Crowley. But if you look for about 20 seconds before he actually takes it, he goes down, he pulls the socks up. And knowing what he does, watching him back the second time, you kind of see that he's getting ready for it. And then Leinster counter ruck the ruck and they almost win the ball. And Casey's kind of in there digging. So it's actually longer than you expect, but I just don't think we get the zoomed out footage. But I think Crowley's back there for a while, but it just looked like everyone was just on their arse at that point and blowing. So there was, I don't think Leinster were expecting it. No one in the stadium seemed to be really expecting it, but it was incredible, I suppose, composure from Crowley, wasn't it? Like he'd never looked for a second like he was going to miss that. Yeah, because we, you know, how hard is that to pull off that skill with three fellas coming from either side of you? So yeah, it was
unbelievable. Especially when it's Ryan Baird, who's the tallest, fastest man in the world, to be coming at you, and he was one of the few people in the stadium who spotted it. So it wasn't like he was caught in his heels. And then I noticed the drop goal, it cleared the dead ball. You know, like it was a proper clean strike straight through the middle. And it must have missed Baird's fingernails by millimetres. And I don't know, just something about Crowley, like since he's come through, he hasn't been perfect by any means. But there's just something about his attitude that makes you think this kid will figure it out and make a really good career for himself.
I agree, yeah. Even to meet him now, I'd meet him a good bit around UL and around Limerick here, and great guy. He'd come straight over, say hello, very confident, very self-assured, and lovely fella. And you can even see him on the pitch when all those decisions were being made, whether they were right or wrong, whether he wanted to go to the corner or to take the penalties. It was Crowley making the decision. He was the one that was there going
right,
like ahead of Peter Armani, ahead of Ben Healy. So he just feels like he wants it. I saw Murray Kinsella put up a video of earlier on in the build up to that play when he catches the loose kick from Nick McCarthy and he attacks the Leinster line, and you think he's going to put on the Crowley footwork. He usually goes hard at the line, then he put on the footwork and he picks out Harry Byrne and just goes straight at him and bounces him and goes over the top of him. And when do you see a 10 doing something like that, and then 5 or 6 phases later to kick the drop goal? It's just unbelievable.
The celebration was pretty good as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, isn't it? Yeah, it's in the blood. It's in the cock blood.
We were talking, I don't know, how does that even come into his head? Does he usually celebrate like that? Or is it just some image just pops in his head and it's like, I'm going to emulate Roger?
Yeah, I love the way, I don't know, was it Dan Sheridan or whoever took the photo, just put it straight up afterwards in Info Sports about photos of the two, identical shots of Roger running away with the finger in the air. It's in the blood, isn't it? When you watched a guy like Raj, and even when Raj put the wheels in motion about potentially signing Crowley for La Rochelle a couple of years ago, that was Cork Con Mafia at work there, 100%. like the time Raj was asked to play for the Miami Dolphins, like probably no truth in that part. he's they're very good at
Kind of, it does show you though that you know, heroes matter and history matters. And it's been a long time. Was it 11 wins or 11 losses and one win against Leinster? And I think 12 and 13 at the Aviva between the two sides. And yet in that moment, what pops into his head is bloody Ron O'Gara. You know, it does show you heroes matter and history and all those elements that have gone before kind of feed into this performance in some way.
I don't know if he had Raj in his head. Do you think he did?
A millisecond after it going over the bar.
Yeah, do you reckon he did? My God, that's even more impressive if he did. That's the first question I'd be asking.
Well, that's what we were saying. How is that in his head? You know, as he runs away. Because the game wasn't won, like,
I assume it's subconsciously just in his blood, in his DNA. But you're right, 100%. There's, with Jack Crowley, you do get a sense of that off him, that he's pure Munster, born and bred. And even the way they talk about Leams at the moment, I'm loving what Leams is doing in that Munster dressing room. And you get a few snippets of it from that. They kind of give that behind the scenes Munster footage at the moment. And Leams is a guy who didn't talk a huge amount in the dressing room back in the day, but what an unbelievable player. What a presence. Like, he's kind of a generational player in a way. He finished way too early, retired same year as I did. He was only 29 and had quite a few injuries throughout his career, but a freak of a player and a freak of a mindset. Such a tough man. And you can kind of see what the impact he's having on that dressing room. And he's instilling that belief, which Graham Rowntree talked about after the game. So
all the video, I don't know if you got this, of the coach's booth, is like Prendergast and all the rest of them going absolutely bonkers. And Leamy, stony face, like even at the full-time whistle, just didn't move a muscle.
I know. That was just perfect. Wasn't it? Absolutely perfect. Never gets too excited. Calm, collected. And look, but that's the thing. They've got a bigger one to come now. You know, not that it's worth nothing if they don't go on and beat the Stormers, because obviously this is a huge monkey off the back, getting up to the Aviva and beating Leinster. But they're just so desperate for a trophy at this point that, yeah, it means nothing really to guys like that anyway, unless they get the win against the Stormers.
The way they did it as well, though, has to give them a lot of confidence, you know, to be deep in their own line with a couple of minutes to go, to have a couple of goes and run it from there. Obviously, at times they had to kick it as well, but, you know, literally sidestepping and offloading around their own line. It was mad to watch.
It was brilliant. Like, I think Gavin Coombs had the turnover on their line, and you feel like Leinster were just humming at that point. Unbelievable turnover. Craig Casey kicked it, and they did so well to not put the ball off the field. If you watch it back, Munster, a lot of the time, you know, they didn't want to give Leinster too many easy lineouts and access into their 22, so they kept the ball in play. And I can't remember who returned it, maybe Tommy O'Brien, and Leinster knock it on. Earlsey hits Hodnett, skips past two defenders, and passes to Rory Scannell, who had an unbelievable impact when he came on. And he makes a little break, gives it back to Hodnett, so it's a little 1-2 there, and then Casey puts it down the field. Brilliant kick chase line. And as I said, it then turned to Crowley to carry, and they just had that patience at that point. And the whole stadium was on its feet. It was an incredible finish. And look, they deserved it. I think you'll have to say that. It was a great game, such a brilliant game. And I think all in all, a lot of the complaints at the moment going on about the referee, I think maybe that's just because it was a bit raw. I thought Frank Murphy had an excellent game. When a game is that good, the referee, I think, has to play his part and let a lot of things go. And there was so much. I'd love to see him, what the ball in time was for that game, because it seemed to be just relentless and end-to-end.
It was wild and hectic, and the breakdown was a bit mad. I'd say there was a load of mistakes made, but probably evened out. I don't know. I didn't get any feeling of bias or anything like that. But I just thinking about this coaching team now, Rowntree, Leamy, Prendergast and the rest of them, and how much it's changed with basically the same players in the space of a season. And they've obviously stuttered, and the start was very bad. And then there was the really bad couple of games where they were shipping 40, 50 points. But they had to play really well for 80 minutes to win that game. And they should have won it by more. They actually outplayed Leinster, let's be honest. And they should have had it won and not needed the Crowley drop goal. But it's some turnaround, isn't it? In terms of belief was the bigger thing for me, because they had so much time in that game to think about all the chances they'd butchered, and the fact that it was Leinster and the fact that it was the Aviva.
Yeah, like, I think It's the same team as what they've had over the last few years, but they weren't allowed to express themselves. They weren't allowed to play under Van Graan. It was so frustrating going up there. I think I've commentated on every one of those Leinster Munster games of the last few years in the Aviva. And you're going up there and watching them playing within themselves, not being allowed to just go out and throw the ball around and play at the speed that they played. Like the ruck speed last night was off the charts from a Munster perspective. And that's the kind of game that Mike Prendergast wants to play. And I think Graham Rowntree is the kind of guy who's just coming in, settled the ship. He's brought the consistency from the last few years, but he's got some buy-in from those players. And then he brings in someone like Prendy, who's so much experience playing with attacking rugby, having coached Racing over the last few years, and to bring in Leams and his, I think the defensive record is the best in the URC for Munster this year. So there's been massive inroads made. Terrible start to the season, but that's going to take time. They've had to embed those ideas. They've had a lot of injuries, they've just had ups and downs throughout the season. Even losing those four players to HIAs last weekend, Jesus. When are they going to catch a break? You know, but it is belief. He talked about that a lot on RTE after the match around Tree, where they've just got buy-in and it's effort. And to go down to South Africa and get those two results was incredible. And then to go to Glasgow, get the win over there. So they've done it like kind of the way, I suppose, Farrell framed the Six Nations. It's chaos and it's, you know, when your back's against the wall, you've got to produce. And it because of all those, I suppose, hardships that they've faced, then you get to 5 minutes to go on in a derby match and you manage to pull it out, and that'll stand to them hopefully going into the Stormers match as well.
Yeah, what about Erzsi? Like, we were basically told he was retired and we'd hear the news in a few weeks, and then I see him knocking Max Deegan back 10 metres.
I had Willie the Tyler out of my house on Wednesday night, and Willie the Tyler is the most... So he tells me, the most informed Munster fan. He's gone. He's retired. Gone. Fucked. Never see him again. And then to see him in the team sheet on Friday, I couldn't believe it, to be honest. I haven't seen Erzsi in a while, so I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I assumed he was out for the season at least. But to put in an 80-minute performance and have some massive moments, it was just, I mean, to have that experience to come into your dressing room alone and to see him with his daughter at the end, she's bawling, crying up in his shoulders. The emotion probably got too much. But I think he said afterwards it was the hardest Munster match he's ever played. And I'm going out for a coffee in his little cafe in the afternoon. I bring the kids out. So he's rarely there, but I'll get the lowdown from his wife on him and how he's feeling. Mm. But it's just, you know, Erzsi's a legend. I'd love to see him get on that World Cup squad, get a couple more caps, get to the 100 caps for Ireland. And I think he will after that performance. I think he will. But at the same time, the decisions that Rowntree is to make now going into the Stormers match and who he plays, if you do get Nash back, does he start? Does Erzsi go? You know, Nash has been arguably our best player all season. Does Murray go straight back in? Casey was absolutely incredible on Saturday. Snyman, I think you'd hope would go straight back in, but they're good problems to have, but he's got a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah, in fairness to Earls, he managed to settle his daughter after a while as well, so it was even some top-class parenting on show.
You'd actually hear him go, what's wrong with you?
We won the game, don't you understand? So what about it, Barry? Will Willie the Tyler be celebrating a URC title? What do you think?
Well, did Willie the Tyler see the Stormers celebrating the fact that Munster beat Leinster in their face?
I know. I when I heard that, I was there.
Did they?
I missed it. What? Yeah, I assumed it was like a little bit of a few fists in the air, but it was as if they won the World Cup the way they were carrying on. Maybe, you know, there's obviously two sides to it. They're getting a home draw, home final, but you wouldn't be celebrating that much just for the fact you get a home final. It's the fact that
not on camera anyway.
Yeah. Who the hell released that? Because what more ammunition do you need? And having gone down there and won 3 weeks ago, the first team to win in Cape Town against the Stormers in 18 months, you know, Munster will go into that with all the belief that they need. And it just...
You think they'll win?
I do. I hope. I do think they've, with those players coming back in, I only saw the first half of the Stormers Connacht match because I was obviously going into the ground for the Munster match, but Connacht rattled them. Probably just maybe ran out of steam after how much of a tough game they had the week before against Ulster. And they looked messy. They looked, you know, same thing the way Munster, the reaction Munster got when they went really at the Stormers. They rattled them, and Connacht probably just took the foot off the pedal, but Munster won't. So, I think we can definitely get a win. And after 12 years without a trophy, this is a massive opportunity for especially the likes of Omani, especially the likes of Earls and Murray to get that trophy. So, oh, please God.
Good to catch up, Barry. Thanks, Emil.
Thanks, lads. Slán.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You lose some good. Fantastic man.
England have been absolutely ripped to shreds.
Here comes Rob Herring with the line of throw for Ireland on the England 10-metre line, far side. The ball is swept back. Here comes Keith Earls, gathers it now. Races inside the 22-metre line. Goes for the corner. Earls, far side of the pitch. Looks to touch it down. In for the try. Far side of the pitch. 22 minutes gone. Keith Earls with the try. Thrown over the tail end of the line-out. Across on the far side. Liveliest man in the entire place was the Ireland fella on the wing. His name is Keith Earls.
Murph, you've had a look at the Stormers celebration video there.
Yes, Owen. And I'm glad someone mentioned to me the idea that this is because they're celebrating because it's a home final. Because I was literally looking at this going, oh my God, this is like the most unbelievable motivational video provided for your opposition that I've ever seen a team provide.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, I can understand, all right, that they don't have to, you know, sit on a plane for 13 hours and they can play in their home ground. I mean, it is of benefit. It is worthy of a celebration. Now, is it worthy of that amount of celebration, Zod? I hesitate to say that it's worth that amount of celebrating.
It will be used as motivation in the Munster dressing room. Let's just put it that way. They're not going to worry too much about the nuances of it. More rugby to come tomorrow as Leinster's entire season, as Simon said earlier, now comes down to Saturday's Champions Cup final. We'll be talking GAA later on in the week. But it was a fairly dramatic Ulster final yesterday, Murph.
Yeah, I mean, huge crowd, sold out Clonus, massive noise, ridiculous colour. And, you know, the Rory Gallagher situation obviously still hung over the entire day like a pall. I mean, I have to say, just watching it myself, I found it genuinely hard to get into in the first half. But the second half was much better as a spectacle. It was another one of those Gaelic football games that struck me as being quite like basketball. It actually only really got going in the last 10 minutes. And then the idea of one turnover, one mistake deciding the entire game, it made it really tense. And it was one of those sporting events where you're watching it going, the players are getting more nervous the longer this goes on, not less nervous. You know, none of them were settling into the game. It just got tighter and tighter and tighter. And then after a couple of mistakes that did actually look fatal, a draw game at full time, then after extra time, and Oran Lynch, absolutely magnificent in goal for Derry in the penalty shootout. Now, Owen, if you were watching the penalty shootout yesterday, you may have thought, wow, why does it look so much more difficult to score here in Clonus than it does, you know, in soccer penalty shootout? Now, there's a bit about, I think, just like the kind of old-fashioned, like the camera is quite far away from the goal. Clonus is, you know, it's, you know, it has its critics. It's not the most glamorous setting in the world.
This happens every time I watch a Gaelic football penalty shootout. I often feel there are quite a lot of misses, to be honest. No, your Galway lads notwithstanding, he hit the back of the net.
There's a reason for that, Owen, because it is more difficult to score a penalty in the GAA, because the GAA goal is a full 3 feet narrower than a soccer
is
goal.
Is it 3 feet?
Yeah, so it's 24 feet by 8 is a soccer goal, 21 feet by 8 is a GA goal. So you'd have to say 18 inches on either side. It is actually does actually make a pretty big difference. Mm. So I think that that's going to make itself felt in more and more you know, of these GA penalty shootouts. And also the fact that like a lot of them are not penalty shootout takers. They're not, like, it's not a thing that's embedded. They haven't,
I have
like,
to say a couple of the Derry ones, including the winning penalty, were absolute corkers.
Yeah. Yeah, Conor Glass was speaking after the game. He said, I changed my mind literally at the last second and exactly reefed it in underneath the crossbar, which, yeah, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But when he's making his mind up literally as his right foot is going back to hit the penalty, I mean, there's some room for improvement there in the technique, I think.
You mentioned Rory Gallagher's absence from the sideline yesterday. He has stepped back as Derry manager following the serious allegations of domestic violence made against him last week by his former wife, Nicola Gallagher. In a statement last Thursday, Rory Gallagher said, allegations against me have been investigated and dealt with by the relevant authorities. The Public Prosecution Service in the North has said that it had received two investigation files from the PSNI. It was determined that there was insufficient evidence to provide a reasonable prospect of conviction for any offence in relation to any individual. On Friday, Gallagher announced that he was stepping back as Derry senior football manager with immediate effect. This decision is born out of a desire to protect my children from the ongoing turmoil, he said. Now, we contacted the Derry County Board to ask if Rory Gallagher will be back on the sideline for Derry's next game in the All-Ireland Series, and we have yet to receive a response to that question. And that's about all we can say about this story legally for now. That's about it for the show as well, Murph. Thank you.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Si.
Thanks, Murph. Thanks,
and
Owen.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you on the World Service during the week. The Second Captain's Podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
That's the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.